Good morning and welcome. I look out at this audience and I see people who have loved me and my family very well, and I think it's just appropriate to say thank you once in a while. So thank you. Thank you for who you are, for what God is doing here, for being a people who are trying to walk by the Spirit, which is what church is all about. And that's what this series has been all about. This is Pentecost Sunday, so this is a way we think about, remember, what some call the birth of the church. So we're walking through Acts, and we've been talking about all of these different stories of the Holy Spirit on the move, the Holy Spirit meeting people and calling them into something new, inviting them into a different kind of life. And so we've talked about what that looks like in different people's lives throughout this book, and we've considered what that might look like for us then as a church. We want to be a people of the Spirit in Tempe, Arizona. And so we've talked about people who have a story to tell, as we tell God's story, our version of his working in our life. We also want to be people who listen. We talked about those humans of New York kind of people, these humans of new life. That's what we want to be. We talked about a church that sends and being that kind of people, the people who have this culture of invitation where God is inviting us into something, and so we too look beyond ourselves, considering what we need to be doing, but also considering who God has placed around us who need to hear that call through us. We've talked about being a people who pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us here. And as I've experienced this prayer, God does interesting things as a response to this. Maybe you've experienced this yourself as well. There are surprises that come when you try to heighten your awareness of what God is doing around you. He will surprise you, he will turn you, he will call you into new things, maybe than you ever imagined, different things than you've imagined before. He challenges our comfort. If you know anything about God, maybe you know that by now. And we're going to talk about that, actually. I'm really excited. Please come back next week. Claire has been putting together a series on the book of Jonah, and that is all about God challenging our comfort. So we have this culture that informs us, sometimes it misinforms us about God. And so we pick up phrases and ideas about God and we begin to use them and they become very comfortable to us. And then every once in a while we read scripture or we experience life in a way that causes us to pause and say, I've never thought about God like that before. Cultures kind of clash about what this can be like. So my friend Josh Zito, who's not with us today, his lovely wife is, but he told me this story. He said his parents were missionaries in Italy, and the church in Italy was very concerned about the church in America, and it was about something I had never even thought about before. He said, when we took communion in Italy, we used real wine. And the Christians there were very concerned that Christians in America weren't using real wine. They were afraid that we were getting a little bit loose or liberal. And what was so funny to me about that was that in my experience, and maybe in yours as well, depending on where you grew up, kind of the exact opposite would have been true. Had we said, well, let's just actually use fermented wine this week, people would say, I think you're getting a little loose. I think you're getting a little bit liberal. We're going to talk about that idea of confronting God, or God maybe confronting us with this different picture of who he is. When I think about communion and passing these trays, I don't think about God being kind of that cosmic bartender who hands me this fermented wine and says, drink, this is my blood. Well, today, as I said, this is Pentecost, which basically is just a fancy way of saying it's 50 days after Passover, right? And so the Jews would travel to Jerusalem, and this was a time for them between two different harvests to give a gift to God. Except on this particular Pentecost day, in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to read that in just a minute. God is the one giving the gifts. So all these people from all over are showing up ready to give. And God says, well, I've got something for you. And since we think about this as kind of the birth of the church, I imagine those proud parents. And there's always kind of that old trope about the father handing out cigars to all his buddies as this new child is born into the world. But that's not what God is giving on this particular day. No, he's giving something a little bit stronger. And this is one of those unusual images of God that I hope you'll indulge me in as we read this text together. Because God is handing out this drink that's got some potency to it. And I think maybe I better read the story to you before I get myself into too much trouble here. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit has been poured out on these believers who have been waiting after Jesus ascended. And the Spirit comes, he fills them, and they begin speaking in all of these different languages, the mighty works of God. And everyone is amazed and confounded and confused by what's happening. And then in about verse 12, the story picks up and reads something like this. They were all surprised. They were bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "Well, they're full of new wine," obviously. Peter stood with the 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 in the morning." Apparently, they wait till at least 9:30. "Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." This has been a long time coming. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness. The moon will be changed into blood. Before that great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The crowd is experiencing something they've never seen before, and so they try to fit it into their understanding of the world. How could we explain this unexplainable event where these people who didn't know our language a minute ago are now explaining something to us, and we understand what they're saying? So one explanation is they've just been drinking a little bit too much for this time of day. And Peter stands up and says, "Well, no, not exactly, but maybe something like this." Because then he goes on to use this pouring language. He uses this liquid language. The Spirit, he says two different times, has been poured out upon us. And so it's not unprecedented in Scripture to think about the giving of the Spirit, the movement of God among his people, as being a gift of good new wine. Jesus is an amateur sommelier in John 2, right? He's pretty good at it. He's been in the business for a little while. He offers bread and he offers wine in this very important meal that we just took. And these apostles, as they waited on the Spirit, are filled with this new wine that has been aged and it has been promised and it has been coming from long, long ago. And so Pentecost happens, and then we're moving on. And it's kind of like one of those events that we read about, and it's a nice story. And that was really cool what the Spirit did then, right? But it's past. So I just wonder, what does it look like for our lives to be fermented in the Holy Spirit? To be doused in this Holy Spirit kind of living. And if you don't like wine, that's okay. The process of making kombucha, I've heard, is kind of similar. Pickling things. This is just the idea of something becoming new by this process of fermentation. Things are transformed, expanded, they become potent, they preserve things. So I want to look at, just for a few minutes this morning, what this is like for us as children of God, to be fermented in the Spirit, to be changed. That first step that happens is transformation, right? You change one thing and you change everything. As you add the yeast, it's not like it was before. There's a chemical change. It can't be what it was. And it's amazing how just little changes have ripple effects, right? And they permeate slowly like yeast or leaven. They just begin to work their way through everything. Little things can make a big difference. My wife loves all things grammar, and so she has this coffee mug. And one of the little bubbles on it says, "Let's eat, Grandma." And the other says, "Let's eat, Grandma." And so this little comma isn't that big of a deal until it's not in the right place, right? Little things make a big difference. And we are given this leaven of language, this power of the Spirit in our life, to speak a new word. And so I just wonder if people read the label on our life, as an individual or as a church, if they turned it over and said, "What are the contents here? What are the active ingredients that we're looking for?" What would they find there? Is the Holy Spirit any part of that? Are we making room for him? Are we inviting him into this mixture and ingredients, this recipe for our life, for our church, for the plans that we're trying to live out in God? Or is it kind of like when you look at those nutritional values, daily value percent this, it's like not a significant source of. Holy Spirit doesn't need to be in that category, right? When people look at us and they look at our church and they look at the things we're trying to do, we need to be filled and just soaked in this Spirit of God. And will they see that before we have to begin telling them about it? You need both. You need actions and words. But will they see and will they notice there's something about these people? They're not quite living that normal life that I might expect. So there's transformation that happens here, but there's also expansion. As you mix in this yeast and the gases begin to build, right? There's a chemical change that's happened. And I wonder about Jerusalem and how the Spirit pours out and what's happening there. And we kind of think of it as that one time event. But what if we thought about it more as just the cork being let out of the bottle? And this new wine that God has been making has been expanding and permeating the scene ever since. When you think about what's happening here, this is kind of like the reverse of the story of the Tower of Babel, right? Where everyone understood and they're going to do this great thing together. And then their language gets all confused and mixed up. But in this story, it's the exact opposite. All these people come together and nobody has any understanding until God says, now. And they say, hey, this is a different language, but I get it. That's my language. You're speaking my language now. We've got something worth saying. And there's so many different ways to say it because there's so many different people that need to hear it. And I wonder if we consider what that sounds like to the very different people that we'll meet from day to day. See, this stuff is brewed to burst, right? This is the good news that you just can't contain it. If you remember Andrew's lesson way back at the start of this, it was all about how the grave can't contain Jesus and the jails won't contain the servants of God. And we can't even contain these words because it's just bubbling over. So a long time ago, about 1950, I think it was, this Chinese ruler comes to power in this communist regime, and he says, no more Christianity, we're going to crack down, kicks out all the foreign missionaries, and everyone thinks this thing is just going to vanish. That's the goal. There's about 2 million Christians in China at this time. So around 1980, this is somewhat lessened, and foreign missionaries get to start going back in, and what they expect to find is just kind of a threadbare, people hanging on by the skin of their teeth kind of church. 2 million Christians in 1950 estimated. What they find in 1980, when all the heroes of the church get to come back in, is that there's more like 60 million Christians in a place where the Spirit's not supposed to be allowed to do that kind of stuff here anymore. They estimate that now in China there's more like 120 million Christians. There's something about this Holy Spirit life that you can't just put the cork back in so easily. It's going to spread, right? And what I love about this story from Joel that Peter quotes as he's trying to explain what is happening in the world, he said, this has always been the story and it will only get better from here. More and more people of every type you can imagine are going to speak this good news to where everyone, no matter what their language, is going to hear it and have a chance to do something good with it. Older people, younger people, men, women. He says, there's just not going to be anybody left out of this. And what I love about that is just on my street alone in Mesa, Arizona, my neighbors are from Argentina and we struggle to communicate. They speak mostly Spanish. There's a couple other families on the block that only speak Spanish. There's another family that only speaks a language that I don't know because I can't communicate with them. We haven't been able to even figure out how we can't communicate. And I just think the world is all around us, and it's going to take a whole lot more than just people like me to carry that spirit and to share that. And that's what I love about the people in this room. I wonder, it would be great to figure out how many languages that we could speak just in this room, just naturally. There's this potency that happens as this expansion takes place. This thing is chemically not the same as it was. This is life with the Spirit. We're in step with the Spirit. Now it's got a little kick to it, right? And maybe we don't feel that because of weekly worship. It just kind of happens and we go home and it kind of happens. happens and we go home, and nothing amazing necessarily seems to happen from week to week. We get these pint-sized servings of Pentecost, though, every week. I'm convinced of that. And where I've seen that is just on this stage alone, let alone what happens when we pour out of this building. It was a couple weeks ago that Alberta got up at the end to say the closing prayer. And I texted somebody afterward. I said, that prayer was fire. I loved the voice and the spirit of that prayer. I wondered about when Alan preached, I guess right after I got here, how long it had been before him that another young black man had got to preach the word of God to us. I love to hear Carolyn, even though she doesn't get her voice up on the stage as much, but you hear those keys and you just hear the spirit moving in the room as she welcomes us and plays us out on the piano each week. I love Javi and Abe, father and son, giving us these communion thoughts from their own perspective. Good job today, also, by the way, Mackenzie. I love the fact that Emily, who had never led a song before in church a few weeks ago, led the worship for us. Like, that was a big deal. She was a little nervous, but she got through it. We as a people who live by the Holy Spirit, that only happens, what I'm trying to say is that only happens when a community of people come together and say, we will let the Holy Spirit lead. And I don't know if we always appreciate, and I want to commend you all for how rare that is to say, Holy Spirit, come and help. And when he shows up, that we say, yes. That's what we want to. And there's so many other examples that I could give you of how that spirit life plays out here and everywhere throughout our community because of the people in just our small corner of the kingdom trying to follow God. I know it's tough sometimes when visitors come into church because we've got our own language. They don't always connect. I know a lot of people who have said, you know, if church doesn't work out for me this time, it's probably going to be the last time I try. This is a big jump. And the Spirit is trying so hard to cooperate and help us cooperate so that people hear the gospel in their own language. Even when that language is still just English and they need to hear, what does good news look like for me? And so I love this parade of faces and voices and stories that gets to come up and down off this stage every week, because that's just a glimpse of the Holy Spirit working in our world. So you have this potency, and that moves to this great effect of preservation in the beverage industry. It helps things last, right? But when we talk about that in church, we talk about it, we call it salvation. I love the response here as Peter gives this great sermon. One of these days I want to give one like that. And around verse 37, the people are ready to respond, and the crowd says, what are we going to do? Brothers, what should we do? And Peter replies, change your hearts, change your lives, repent. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people say, I'll have what he's having. That's what I want in my life. I want this life permeated, immersed, and submerged in the Spirit. This is a vintage faith, isn't it? It's been around a while. And yet, it's dynamic enough to meet the reality of my life when I leave this building today. And that's what I love about this as we celebrate a day like Pentecost together. So old and ancient and unrelatable, and yet so new and so relevant at the same time. And so we hold up these glasses to God and we say, fill our cup with your Spirit. And instead of him filling it and we drink it down, he pours it over our head and he anoints us. Because that's really more probably on the line of what's happening here. This is this anointing, this idea of I am calling you into something. This is special. Steeped in the flavoring of the Spirit. That's what I want people to see when they see my life. Anointed by the very power of God, living out a story that is better than any other story you could possibly live out in a narrative that means salvation. It means power. It means expansion that will never stop because God loves us that much. Isn't that a story worth telling? Isn't that something worth celebrating together? Father God, we love you so much. We want to be your people. We want to be soaked in your Spirit, led by your voice, willing to speak when the time comes, the good news of what it means in our context to follow Jesus, and that that would ever be only good news by the way that we live that out. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.